Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, it's time for Below Grade Level. Listener beware, you're in for a scare.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Eaton. With me as always is Becca Eaton.
Hello.
And Chris Zaleski.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Feeling a little chesty today.
Chesty?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, because like with the temperature jump today, it just like, I'm like,
Very manly comment.
I get that.
So I might be clearing my throat a little.
Well, guys, we're about to finish reading Christopher Pike's Master of Murder, or as we've been calling it, Mom.
I've been writing down Mom at the top, and every time I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, all my file names are Mom Part 1, Mom Part 2. And it wouldn't be us finishing a book if we didn't bring back our old friend, returning champion, John Walker.
Hi, I have a cold.
Hey, no. Are you chesty too?
It's not a competition, yes. John.
I'm more nose and throaty.
You sound fine.
I'm coming out of it, but you know how I can tell. You know, you feel like you're not back at it yet.
But you
especially
sound,
a little
you sound...
songbird like me. I'm not in singing shape right now, Jonathan.
We won't ask you to sing the theme song then.
Yeah.
No. There's a cool thing that happens though, where you have like. A little bit of extra there, so you can do a little bit more of that. But
when
no one
sick.
Needs that. No one wants that. So,
or just like you're like a little breathy. You're like, I'm kind of sexy today.
Yeah, right.
And then you're like,
until all the
cool.
Phlegm
it's kind of cool
out.
The way I went into convulsions when I laughed too hard earlier. You know.
That's yeah, the shaking is fun.
Yeah.
Well,
it's good to stay
John,
active.
I would
say I like to move around on the floor, you know, like
get the load up on blankets and see how hot and cold I can get at the same time. I would say that this is a doozy, but I every fucking book we read is basically a doozy.
Yes.
And you're familiar with it at this point.
Totally familiar.
Why don't you catch John and our listeners up on what happened last time on Master of Murder?
Okay. The last time Marvin was just being full on fucking crazy and also very aware that he was being crazy, but still just going for it anyway.
He was like talking to himself like, you're being crazy, Mr. Didn't he call himself
Master of Murder? Yeah, that came up. He called himself the Master of Murder. He was doing a lot of talking to himself.
Holy shit.
He decided to... Well, I think he came up with this plan already. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But he decided to kill them. Well, I guess this was where we were confused last time.
Yeah.
I thought his plan was to kill the both of them the whole time, but his plan really was only to kill Triad.
I think his plan was just to kill Triad on the bridge and then, like, then deal with Shelley. But I think he did still was going to kill Shelley.
In the last, like, reading whatever, the last episode, he basically was like, it sounded like he wanted to win Shelley over.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
He lost his
changing his own mind about
mind.
What he was.
He
to
saw
do.
Her
so
on
anyway.
The back of the bike, and while hanging off the side of the bridge, yelled, "Shelley!"
Yeah. I remember the first half of the last episode was literally just him setting up the trap, and that went on for an eternity.
I wrote down it's taking forever, and I wrote a long squiggly because I was really bored and losing my own mind, waiting for him to just fucking kill them. So he just sets up the whole rope and did he put the oil out?
He did put the oil out.
Yeah, the oil slick on the bridge. He sets up the rope.
It was a lot of oil, if I remember right.
Freezing ass cold, which seems really stupid.
Oh yeah, did he waited in his car with the car off for like hours, and then he's like, oh no, I'm cold.
And I don't think he brought gloves, right?
No, he didn't.
He didn't bring any gloves to hold onto a rope that he's gonna clothesline a motorcycle with.
On a bridge.
Somehow it went badly.
In like January.
Yeah, so he thought it was only going to be Triad, but Shelley was on the motorcycle.
Oh, no.
Triad saw the rope, I guess, and stopped the motorcycle and tried to throw Marvin off of the bridge.
Classic Triad.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We say hell yeah when we say Triad.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Shelley knows that Marvin's Max Slate.
Uh-huh.
Everyone fights everyone. Marvin just fucking leaves.
Not before Triad confesses.
Oh, I didn't even write that down.
Yeah.
I guess I'll write it.
Write it in the margin. Triad killed Harry.
This pen doesn't want to write any more notes for this book.
Most of this book has been basically like, who killed Harry Pastor? And it turns out Triad killed him. And I don't remember why, if they even said why. But like, yeah. Triad this whole time has been playing dumb, literally. Been like, I'm just a jock. And then was just like, no, I did it.
Yeah. Yes. He confesses to killing Harry, and we don't know why. I'm guessing just because he wants to fuck Shelley, because this book isn't that complicated.
I guess, yeah. I really don't know why.
Which has been kind of a bummer. I really thought it was going to be, like, more supernatural and crazy, and it just seems like psycho teens.
It has just been crazy.
There's been so many, like, Chekhov's something or others that have had no payoff.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
Is so, Marvin the master of murder?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Marvin. Marvin / Max Light.
Also, his internal monologue sounds like Sam Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Bridge fight, and then Marvin just leaves.
Bridge fight.
Gets on his bike and leaves Triad and Shelley there.
Oh, yeah.
He goes off to finally write his book, where all he does is write down all the shit that just happened.
Yeah.
Like, with this whole situation. And then he calls his agent to set up.
And, like, also confirmed kind of what we were already saying, which is, like, this whole book series up to this point has just been his, like, subconscious writing what happened in his town with Harry's death.
Yeah. Was he, like, having a moment where he's like, and this person was this or whatever?
Yeah, he literally had, like, a moment of clarity. He's like, oh, I guess I've just been interpreting my hometown crime into this book series.
And you were there, and you were there.
I don't understand how that could be like a surprise to the
person.
He's
dumb.
Unless he fully blacks out and then never rereads his work, how could he be surprised at what he's writing?
I think he's just dumb.
Well, that's way more boring than like time traveling robot grandfather.
He is a teenager, so.
Yeah, he's only 17.
Odds are he's not smart.
So he writes the book. Oh, and he makes his agent set up a reading and book signing at a school the same day. He basically was just like riding his bike and writing all night long.
Yeah, has he slept in like 3 days?
I don't think so. I don't think he's slept since the day he left when his dad was smashing the TV.
Yeah.
So then he's, I guess gonna tell all his fellow students he's a big famous writer guy.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
At the school with the guy that he tried to murder.
Right. Yeah, like, Triad's gonna be there.
Yeah.
With his, like, shattered knee. And his fucked up face. He kicked him in the face, like, 10 times.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What was the, 14. Chapter 14? Okay.
I believe so.
All right, let's do it. Let's find chapter 14. Let me scroll down. It's going to take a little while. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Good. Just like Marvin on the bridge.
Yeah. Or just like Harry was on the bridge. Oh, another thing, John. Marvin thought that Harry was trying to kill him, but failed in it.
Oh, did he? Oh, right, he did.
Turns out it was Triad, but then that was Marvin's inspiration to try to kill Triad and Shelley as like some sort of revenge for the murder that didn't succeed.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how you can find inspiration, you know, in so many different places.
I'm very excited to not say the word triad. Like ever again. Hell yeah. I don't think I've ever said it before we read this
book. I'm trying to say
book.
Hell yeah every time someone says triad, and I feel like it hasn't been happening, so I'm not going to, I don't believe that this
we is. Started I feel like off, I don't have any steam left.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We started off with a lot of steam for triad. Drink. We're like, man, triad, hell yeah. And then now
we're like, triad, god damn it.
Triad. Okay, so we're starting at chapter 14, is that right?
I believe so. I wrote down 12 and 13 last time.
Okay. Let's finish reading The Master of Murder, chapter 14. Marvin wrote fucking just the name of the town, Pella and Sessa. They live in Sessa. The next town is called Pella. What?
Isn't Pella a window company?
I don't know.
I think Pella is a window company.
Oh, my God.
Do I look like I know the names of window companies?
I mean, actually,
you do,
yes.
Actually. Yeah. You do 100% look
You've
like...
You've probably talked to more window companies than we have.
You saw the 0% hesitation in our answer.
You definitely look like a guy that would come to my door and be like, I noticed your windows are...
Oh, yeah, that's a Pella. That one's a Pella. It's a good brand.
Oh, my God. Marvin rode through Pella on his way back and collected his shiny red Corvette. Oh, yeah, he bought a Corvette. He sold his bike to Triad, and then he bought a new Corvette, and then he took his bike
He drove
back,
it to the bridge, and then he took the bike.
Left it in the
left
woods.
The Corvette.
Yeah, and then when he got to the hotel where he was writing his book, he called the guy that sold him the Corvette. He's like, hey, can you go pick up my Corvette in the woods?
Right.
Like, what sane person would do that? There's definitely a body in the trunk. He left his motorcycle at the dealership with Ed and asked the sales manager to have the bike delivered to his house later in the day. How much money is he tipped? Oh, wait. Naturally, he tipped Ed handsomely for his efforts. The book answered my question before I could finish asking it. He got home at 10 past 11 in the morning. Anne was waiting outside on the porch for him. Anne is his little sister.
Anne is also the name of the main character in his book series that dies.
Yes.
Anne is the Laura Palmer of the book series. He named after his... child sister.
And he names, like, every book he writes, he names one of the characters
Anne. He makes the middle name Anne.
Or he makes the middle name Anne, yeah. Creepy. She almost jumped out of her skin when he drove up. She was so excited. Bandages all over her face, like Marv from Sin City. She launched herself into his arms as he stood up outside his car. I missed you! She cried, burying her face in his shoulder and hugging him tighter than he deserved.
How tightly do you deserve to be hugged? I mean,
well, after you try to kill somebody
and
kick him a bunch,
like he
and abandon your sister,
he left her with his abusive parents.
Violent father there.
Do we all start out though at like a base level of like you wake up and you deserve to be hugged, you know, until further notice? Or
that's a baseline, I think.
You need to earn a. You have to get to a certain point in the day where you've earned a hug. You know,
I think baseline is like a normal pressure amount of hug.
Yeah,
and then like. If you're having a bad day, you need a tighter hug. And if you abandon your sister to your abusive parents, maybe you just get like a little pat on the shoulder.
I don't think you get a pat.
I don't think
you get anything.
Just like a glower.
Yeah.
Yeah. A withering stare.
A kick in the shins.
A kick in the shins. He felt a stab of guilt, as he should. He should have called and spoken to her directly and put her mind more at ease.
And checked to see if she was in the hospital.
Yeah, no, just... crazy.
I missed you too, he said. What's with the car, she asked. It's mine. I bought it. Really? That's cool. How's mom, he asked. Anne let go of him and bounced on tiptoes. She's not drinking. She hasn't had a drink since you punched out dad. Marvin felt a rush of pure delight. Really? Yeah, her brain's working again. I hardly know her. What made all this happen? Anne
Dumb
shrugged.
Question.
I don't know. I think she got scared that night. Oh, Dad's in jail. The police came right after you ran out of the house and arrested him for breaking our TV. They're going to keep him in jail for 90 days.
Look, everything solved itself.
Yeah.
A lot did.
90 days. 3 months. Marvin would be 18 by then and in full control of his bank accounts. His father wouldn't be able to touch them while he was behind bars, so his money was safe. He didn't have to hide anymore. Of course, he had already made the decision to come out of the closet before he had known of his father's imprisonment. The truth of the matter was that he had been ready to take on his father if the guy had tried to take his money. He was tired of cowering behind his pen name. He had almost been looking forward to the legal battle, but it was probably better this way. Like, when did he have time to have any of these thoughts?
While he was driving on his motorcycle at 90 miles an hour.
But it was probably better this way, much better if it meant his mother had been shocked into going straight. Perhaps being in the slammer would sober up his...
Being in the slammer.
The page isn't there.
And that's it. The end.
Well.
Oh.
That was great.
But it's... It doesn't say
it's
borrow again.
Now.
It's just being weird.
It just needed a little push.
What? I don't even remember. Oh. Perhaps being in the slammer would sober up his father.
Marvin didn't really dislike the guy. He just felt sorry for him. I don't know. He kind of beat the shit out of him.
I would. You're allowed to dislike him, Marvin.
Yeah.
I finished my book, Marvin said casually, and squealed. All of it? I'm down to the last few pages. Is it bitchin'? I forgot, that was her voice, Spinelli. The best. She hugged him again. You are the best. You're my big brother. Like, you don't announce that. Anyway.
You're my big brother.
I don't know. I think if you're thinking maybe someone has just been brought in, say, on a podcast to start reading the book at this point. It's supposed to have lines like, you're my big brother in there.
It's crazy that they thought so far in advance.
Yeah, they really covered all their bases.
Decades in advance.
Yeah. Forward thinking.
All right, where did I leave off? Is it bitching the best? You're my big brother. I'm going to read the book at school today. The TV and the newspapers are going to be there. I'm going to do a book signing and interviews. Anne almost fainted dead away. I could tell all my friends you're Max Slate. He laughed. Ha ha, yeah. Tell everybody. Tell everybody what? His mother asked, coming out the front door. If Anne hardly knew her anymore, Marvin hardly recognized her. It was as if she had gained 10 pounds in the last week. Her dark hair had shine to it, and the lines on her face were almost gone. But the biggest change was in her eyes. They were clear. They were alert. He walked over and gave her a hug. It was as if she was awake for the first time in a long time. You look wonderful, he said. She let go of him and smiled. I feel wonderful. You're not going to start drinking again because I've come home? She laughed and socked him right in the kisser. He couldn't remember the last time he had heard her laugh. You nut. You nut. You've had Anne and me worried to death.
Is that a joke?
Is any of this a joke? This is very weird and casual.
It's all a dream sequence. He died on the bridge.
Jacob's ladder.
You've had Anne and me worried to death. Where have you been for the last week? I was in a small town called Forest. It's on the coast.
It's a weird name for a town on the coast.
What were you doing there?
Used to be called Beach. Pointed.
What were you doing there? His mom pointed at his Corvette. And where did you get that car?
Marvin spoke seriously. I bought the car at a dealership in Pella. I got the money for it from books I've written.
This is great recap, man. They really knew I was
going to really, be...
I didn't have to fucking bother going through all this.
I know.
That's what I was doing in Forest, writing the final book in a series I've been developing for the last year.
I cannot believe
his mother was bewildered.
What are you talking about? What books?
Anne flashed a grin that went from ear to ear.
Have you ever heard of Max Slate, Mom?
She asked. Their mother paused.
Isn't he that novelist who writes those scary teenage stories?
Anne pointed at Marvin.
He's your son, dude! Their
mom still didn't get it, and it wasn't because of any lingering alcohol in her system.
What?
For a change, the news would have been too much for any mother to comprehend.
She died.
She dropped dead. Right there. Master of Murder.
I heard on the news that Max Slate was going to be in town this afternoon, she muttered. Is that what you're talking about?
He's always been in town, Marvin said, squeezing his mother. Squeeze! Once more, but now he's back to stay. And he's squeezy. Don't worry, I'll explain everything later. Right now, Anne and I have to go to my school.
He's also the master of squeezing.
They've called a couple of times looking for you, his mom said.
They're looking for me now, Marvin agreed.
What does that mean? I'm looking at the sentences, yes. And I don't understand.
They called a couple of times looking for you. They're looking for me now. They're looking for me. They're looking for me now.
Some say they're even looking for me now.
they're still looking.
On a night like tonight, you can see them out there.
What time is it? Is he late for school?
It said it was like 11 a.m. Oh, I guess he would be late.
Well, it looks like Sessa High or Sessa High was abuzz with anticipation.
But he's also
calling it Sessa because what the fuck Sessa. Word
he's been gone for a week also.
I guess so.
You know, I just want you guys to know this before I stop talking here. Marvin and his sister got there a few minutes before lunch started and already half the student body was loitering in the halls. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
Did they just like cancel classes and let the kids run buck wild because an author's going to be there?
I don't know.
Like
that's really that's literally all I mean, know.
I mean,
John, tell me. Why won't you tell me?
I feel like it's someone else's job to pick up the story from here.
If you showed up to school in the 90s and they were like, R.L. Stein's here, you'd be like, fuck class.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Nothing's getting learned today.
And what if R.L. Stein was a kid you were in school with?
I'd be furious. I'd be so mad.
Yeah, it would blow my fucking mind.
They had never had a celebratory... They had never had a celebrity visit before. They were just Sessa, after all. Podunk, little Sessa. Certainly not one who had touched them so directly. Everywhere Marvin and Ann walked, people were asking, "Did you hear? Oh God, why is he coming to this dump?" Even they knew. They were so excited, they didn't even stop to ask Marvin why he had his little sister with them or why he had a manuscript tucked under his right arm. Everyone knows what a manuscript looks like.
Yeah.
Or where he'd been for a week. Although Marvin had not specified it during his conversation with his editor, he was happy to see the principal had not yet revealed Max Slate's true identity. At least two TV stations were setting up equipment in the gym. The gossip was that Max Slate was going to reveal ahead of time who had killed Ann McGaffer. Why would any author do that?
Yeah.
Here's who killed him.
My last
Don't
book.
Buy it.
Yeah.
Also, at least two is a fancy money. Way to say two, isn't it?
At least two, yeah. It's like at
if
least
it was
two.
Three, you'd say that, I guess. It would be like anywhere from 2 to 5,000 news crews.
How many news crews are here? One, two?
Oh,
I don't
who
even
can,
know. Who could, who could count higher?
I can't hazard a guess. At least two.
Marvin discreetly inquired as to the whereabouts of Shelley and Triad. He got nowhere. Oh, yeah. Apparently, oh, yeah. Neither had been in class all week. At least no bodies had been found floating in the lake. Like, Shelley could be, he could have killed Shelley.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was he writing the book for a week? Or,
yes.
Okay. A week hasn't passed that we were reading.
No.
A week has passed since the last
since
time we
he
read.
Left Shelley and Triad okay. on the bridge, yeah.
It just feels like it to you, Becca.
Why is Shelley missing? Anne asked, following him everywhere he went. She was so excited, her green eyes were big. That's
wow.
what it says.
Her green eyes were big.
Her green eyes are big.
He really is a writer.
Christopher Pike's like, I fucking give up at this point. Page 174. I don't know, Marvin said. And now there was no denying his disquiet. But why did he care? She had used him. She deserved whatever happened to her. Yet he prayed it had not been too final. Yeah, man. Maybe she shouldn't die. Lunch started, and every student on campus headed straight for the gymnasium. Half of them had Max Slate titles in hand. Many must have dashed home between periods to get their books. Marvin and Anne followed the river of people, but neither took a seat in the stands once they were inside the old building where, for the last 4 years, Sessa High had managed to lose 90% of its basketball games. Another small detail he had managed to work into his plot.
That is a long-ass sentence.
Incredibly long sentence.
That was thrilling. Because you're not even on your page anymore, Jonathan. Let's just find that note.
That was like half of my page.
You were like in
page.
Someone else's yard. That was like,
that's why I
that was
laughing.
Like you're playing like, catch, and you had to go in someone else's yard and run all the way deep into their yard.
Like, oh, I'm in the street now.
To get the ball.
Oh, my God.
I've been looking for some excitement, and that was it. That honestly was all I needed, that sentence.
Any extra excitement's just going to be...
Too much.
Too much.
Too much. Marvin spotted their principal, Mr. Peters, who waved and came over. Mr. Peters had been on the verge of retirement for the last 20 years, just like every boomer I know, but somehow managed to come up with a fresh birth certificate for the local Board of Education every time his contract came up for renewal. What does that mean?
Sounds illegal.
Is there, like, an age limit on being a principal?
They're like, you have to retire. And he's just like, nope.
Yeah.
Look.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
45 for the fifth time.
What a weird thing to write.
Yes. He loved working with kids. In all my 50 years teaching, I've never been so stunned as I was this morning when I got that call from New York, Mr. Peters said, beaming.
He's 96 years old.
He offered his hand, both his bony hands, and gave Marvin a vigorous shake. It rattled so loud. Congratulations. You know this place is going to fall apart when I tell them who you are. Have you told anybody? Marvin asked. A couple of the TV people know, Mr. Peters said, glancing over to a remote crew that Marvin realized was a network. National coverage! Yet he shouldn't have been surprised.
A network?
The debate over who had killed Ann McGaffer had been raging in major newspapers across the country for the last 3 months. I wonder if anybody will believe you when you say who I am, Marvin said. They will, Ann piped up. I can vouch for you. It took 15 minutes for the crowd to settle down. Many had food with them, but few were eating.
Weird detail.
Gazes kept flicking to the entrance. Where is he? What does he look like? What famous starlet will he arrive with on his arm? Marvin saw Sandy, the redhead from Mr. Ramar's class, who thought Max Slate was still suffering from a love affair that hadn't worked out. Then there was blonde Deborah, who believed Max Slate had a whole cute family of blondes to keep him company. Mr. Ramar and Mrs. Jackson were sitting together in the front row. Occasionally, all four of these people would look at him speaking with Mr. Peters, but none of them paid much attention to him. Mr. Peters leaned over and spoke in Marvin's ear.
How do you want to be introduced?
The principal asked. Marvin glanced down at Ann. What do you think? He asked.
You should be introduced as my big brother,
Ann said with a straight face.
This isn't about you, Ann.
Ann, get it together.
Marvin chuckled and then was thoughtful for a moment. Tell them you'd like to introduce Marvin Summer, who writes the Max Slate books. That's all. You don't have to say anything else.
That's true.
I thought they're going to boo the shit out of him. They're going to hate him instantly.
I hope so.
That's true, Mr. Peters said, understanding. They know who you are. Do you want to take questions or give a brief talk or read from your new book? I'm quite tired. I'm so old.
Yeah, I thought this was already decided. Okay.
I'll talk for a couple of minutes.
A lot of last-minute planning for this event.
Yeah.
I'll talk for a couple.
So what do you want to do? You're just going up there.
I hope you know that we're going to have pandemonium on our hands if you fuck this up. Look at how rabid they are.
I don't want this to turn into a hootenanny. I'll talk for a couple of minutes, Marvin said. I don't want to give a speech. I'll take a few questions, then I'll read and sign books. A hush settled over the audience as Mr. Peters stepped to the microphone. The lights from the TV cameras went on, flooding the basketball court in eerie brilliance.
Marvin continued to search the stands for Shelley, or Triad.
Hell yeah.
He could have been straining to think up the ending of his series. He could have been straining to think up the ending of his series. All right, that's a sentence.
He could have
thought he did. He could have already do that.
I think that was how hard he was, like, searching. He was, like... straining, just like he could have been straining to think up who killed Ann McGaffer.
He would just have to wait and let it come, one or the other, or neither. So, in other words, no point in saying that,
Marvin.
Well, it still sounds like he didn't finish it, right?
He would have.
Sometimes the best ending was to have nothing at all happen. Sometimes it was the saddest.
What?
Jesus. I feel like this is just a cop-out for this book ending terribly.
Did he not write the ending?
Are we going to find out that Christopher... It's Pike. I said Priest earlier, I believe, but it's Christopher Pike, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. Are we going to find out that Christopher Pike actually broke up with his longtime editor when he was almost done with this book and that he actually started kind of writing about it? It's like, well, no one really needs a book to have an ending, do they? Who knows? Or nothing at all can happen.
Who knows? It could just end.
Yeah.
It
could just end. Sometimes the middle of a set...
Sometimes or you could just be Zack Snyder and claim everything you're doing is a deconstruction.
I'm about to deconstruct this next sentence. Mr. Peters cleared his throat. What do you think that means? Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great pleasure to introduce a young man you have known for years. Let's have a big hand for Marvin Summer, author of the Mac Slate Thrillers. The place did not erupt at the announcement. The opposite occurred. The silence deepened.
How did that?
Marvin could have heard a pin drop
as he walked to the microphone. The glare from the lights half blinded him.
I'm getting so much secondhand embarrassment imagining this scene.
Just like someone out there is like...
I'd be like, it was me, you jerks.
I'm fucking rich. And then walk off giving them the fingers.
I'm rich, baby. The glare from the lights half blinded him, but he noted that Sandy from Mr. Raymar's class, or Ramar's class, had fainted dead away.
What?
Really?
Mrs. Jackson was not doing much better. She had her head down between her knees, and Mr. Raymar was anxiously checking on her. Marvin remembered.
This isn't news to make people faint.
He speaks to the microphone and he says, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
I am for real.
That God works. Damn it.
Or I am Max Slade.
It does.
All right. Marvin remembered that Mrs. Jackson had been working on a novel for the last 10 years, but had been unable to get it published.
Oh, no. That's sad. That's
the
a
rest
bummer.
Of the people were frozen in place. Hey, Chris,
she's got her head between her knees like, fuck.
You
fuck.
Just hear her say, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
She was such an asshole about his writing with that frog story.
She's like the creative writing teacher.
She's like, I taught that chode.
Well, Chris, what's interesting is, I don't know if you know this, Marvin didn't know where to begin, so he just started talking. And he was like, oh, hi, I feel self-conscious at the moment. I like to think that I know most of you here, but that none of you really know me. Since my books were published, I've walked around this campus feeling smug. I'd see some of you with my titles, and I'd think, they don't know I created that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You piece of shit.
They don't really know how great I am. Really, I was conceited. But I think I've gotten over that. Doesn't it sound like it? The last few days, some things have happened, and I've begun to realize everybody's got a story, and that I was mistaken to think that I was the only one.
I thought he said no speeches.
Chris, this is just a brief talk. This isn't a speech.
I don't know. Sounds like
a whole speech.
That's all I wanted to say. Besides, thank you for reading my
books. Everybody's got a story. That's a speech.
I write because I love to tell stories, and it makes me happy to see people enjoying my stories. Stories, Marvin paused. Stories. Are there any questions about my stories? About 100 people raised their hands. Marvin pointed to a girl in the front row. She stood. She had a copy of the first Silver Lake book in her hands. He knew what she was going to ask before she opened her fucking mouth.
Oof.
Where do you get your ideas, Mr. Slate? She asked. Marvin laughed. From you. From all of you. There were more questions.
That's the first question.
But yeah. I think this guy's a real dick.
Yeah. The first question would be like, are you fucking serious? Yeah. It's you? Are you sure?
Yeah. Did you? Is this a joke?
Yeah.
I have a question. But why though?
Yeah. But why? There were more questions, tons of them. They wanted to know how he had managed to keep his identity secret, how much money he made, how long it took him to write a book. Apparently, like a week.
Those are solid.
Whether any of the people in his books were based on people he knew, on them. Marvin laughed again at the last question, sat down, and began to read the beginning of the last installment of Mystery Silver Lake. And he's like, wait till you guys hear about this. By the way, I know who killed Harry. I know. I haven't told the police anything yet.
Yeah.
This is a Marvin reading.
Mike Madison sat in class watching the beautiful Jessica Moss putting lipstick on her wide, sensual mouth. You know.
You know.
Reading it at his own school.
Do you say you put lipstick on your mouth? I mean, I guess you do, but I think you put it on your lips. Somehow saying you put it on your mouth sounds really weird. Here, put some lipstick on your mouth. You know what I mean? That, I don't know.
He's 17, he's like writing about high school.
Also, wide sensual mouth. Like she's just walking around going like.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Jessica Moss was a blow-up doll.
Jessica Moss.
Jessica was two seats up on his right, and she was reading a Hollywood
sex novel.
Good descriptive language.
What? What does
Hollywood
that mean?
Sex novel?
You know, one of them Hollywood sex novels.
What does that mean? Oh, God.
Like, why is the word Hollywood there?
I don't know.
So. Is it like a novelization of a movie, but with fucking?
It's the novelization of Basic Instinct.
It doesn't sound decadent enough, Becca, if it's just a sex novel. But you say Hollywood sex novel.
You're not familiar with the popular subgenre.
Hollywood sex novels do not.
It's a literary retelling of Indecent Proposal. I'm crying right now.
She looked as if she was really into the book.
Oh my god. All right. I don't want to.
Oh, right.
I don't want to. Every other page, her cheeks would turn red and her breathing would accelerate. Mike suspected she was reading nasty parts. Nasty in italics.
Ooh, nasty.
And he wondered if Jessica was feeling particularly hard up. Mike sure was. He's made millions. He had not been.
It's just teenage Game of Thrones.
Yeah. He had not been with a girl since Anne McGaffer. That had been a year ago, only 2 days before Anne had died. Sometime later. Later, Marvin spoke to the people. It's literally dot, dot, dot. It trails off from the book. Later, Marvin spoke to the people.
I would have read like 5 pages of that book.
I am satisfied. Later, Marvin spoke to the people from the media and signed several hundred books. Sandy, the redhead, we fucking remember, slipped him her number after he had inscribed each book.
Do you think they know I'm into redheads?
Max Slate collection. She appeared to have recovered nicely from her collapse. Oh, right, she fainted. Deborah, the blonde, also gave him her number. In fact, she invited him over for dinner that night. She wanted him to meet her parents. Marvin supposed she was still dreaming of Mr. Slate's little blonde babies. Marvin kept the numbers. What the hell, he thought.
I'll have binders full of women.
What? Mrs. Jackson was one of the last people to approach him.
It was a perfectly timely Mitt Romney reference.
I don't get
it. Was that a Mitt Romney reference?
Yeah.
What? What is the reference?
He was talking about women not having enough people, like women involved in his campaign or in his administration, and he was bragging about how many women he was contacting.
The exact line is, I have binders full of women.
But he was saying it like in terms of contacts or people that he had been like involved in his like campaign research or whatever. But what he ended up saying was like, I have quantities of women in binders. You know, I mean, it was just this weird statement.
God.
He is Mormon.
Yeah. That's true. You gotta keep a binder just for all your wives.
By then it was close to 4 o'clock. He had been signing all afternoon. In her hands, she carried the first novel he had published, The Wishing Web. He didn't want to rub it in, so he just opened the book to sign the title page. He was surprised to see it already had an inscription. What?
Who is this? This is
Mrs. Jackson.
Mrs. Jackson.
There's already an inscription in the book that says, For Marvelous Marvin, I just read this book while waiting. It's great. An A+. 3A++. Congratulations, your humble English teacher, Mary.
Oh, Mrs. Jackson.
Wait.
She wrote that she read the book while she was waiting to get it signed by him.
Wow.
And then wrote in her own book?
Wrote in her own book and then handed to him and was just like.
I don't have the brain cells to comprehend what I'm reading. I feel like I'm on another planet. I don't understand. So what is it for him to keep? Okay.
No, I think she wants him to sign it, but she's also like, I'm going to write a little note to him.
That's really
demeaning to myself.
Wait till you read my Seymour the Frog series, Marvin remarked. Mrs. Jackson was a good sport. I can hardly wait, she said.
Don't say that. This piece of shit.
So he's going to write
with the fucking epilogue.
Like children's books?
Wait, what?
These last...
Epilogue you.
Wait, I mean, that was the last chapter?
Well, there's 17 pages left. But yeah, it just says epilogue.
Right. What the fuck is this book?
I don't know. I'm going to read ahead real quick and then I need some liquor.
But Shelley Quaid never appeared, not even at the end of the line, as Marvin had dreamed she would. He finished the day by accepting a few more girls' phone numbers and then slipped out with his sister. Anne kept shaking her head. It had been the happiest day of her life. She could hardly wait to read his new book. I still have a few pages to do, he warned. When are you going to do them? She asked.
Soon. Tonight. He was home, sitting in front of his computer screen after a nice family dinner with his mom and sister, when he felt a sudden urge to go for a walk. He left the house. This time he said goodbye to everybody and got on his bike and drove to Sessa Lake. It was dark and cold, but the air was still oddly serene.
I guess I didn't know if you were considering that a full page.
Yeah.
All right, my turn. There was no one around. He walked along the shore he had walked the previous Friday evening before his date with Shelley, even so far as the West End, where the hills met the water and the cliff stood that had supposedly been the instrument of Harry Pastor's death. Somehow he was going to have to tell Harry's grief-stricken mother that her son had not committed suicide, without telling her how he knew. Perhaps he could give her a copy of his series to read. That's thoughtful. So many secrets between those carefully worded lines. Give that woman something to do. Decode my books and find out what happened to your son, but not the whole truth. I don't think you deserve that.
You don't deserve to know what happened to your own son.
Right. Read my fucking books and
give me money.
Take out your decoder ring and have a little fun with it, Mom.
I need royalties.
Take that time you would have spent with your son.
I'm the master of murder.
And read my books. He was sitting with his feet dangling over the cliff, the water flat and black 100 feet below, when he heard a sound off to his left. He looked up to find a white figure approaching. It was Storm Shadow, the G.I. Joe figure. It was all white. it was a girl. A pretty girl.
That was great, I loved it.
The world was full of them, but there weren't too many like this one. Hi, she said when she was closer. Hello, Shelley, he said. How are you? She came and sat beside him. Fine. How are you? Excellent. He paused. Are you armed?
What?
Marvin. She allowed a soft laugh. Soft laugh. She was 3 feet away, and it was so dark, she was nothing but a silhouette. I'm going to pull a Zaleski on this, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. She was nothing but a silhouette. I have your knife. Can I have it?
It's maybe. Kind of expensive.
She scooted a little closer. He could have reached out and put his arm around her, if he had wanted to. I've missed you this last week, she said. Everybody's missed you. Where have you been? You know, here and there, waiting for you to return.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, I don't know what's just happening. Is she really alive? Is this like a ghost encounter or something?
Yeah.
Their banter is already horrible.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's how they talk to each other?
This, oh, my God.
No, it is,
John,
actually.
It's so right. horrible.
Their flirting is this.
It's tragic. Yeah.
But it's like trying to be like spicy dialogue. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah. It's trying to be.
You should have heard them talking in the hot tub. Please go listen to
the Bob Rose episode. It's incredible.
It's a CW show.
Really? Yeah. But worse written somehow. You didn't have to wait, he said. You're not going to talk? He shrugged. Am I not fucking talking right now, Shelley? Who am I going to talk to? Oh, I guess she means you're not going to talk about what happened?
You're not
going
to, like, tell the tale.
To the police?
Yeah, right? Okay. Shelley sighed, but didn't say anything. Are
they on a cliff or something? Why are they taking notes? It's the last episode.
Yeah, you don't have to take notes. Actually, no, take notes for when I write the little
okay.
write-up thing when blurb. I post the episode. The blurb!
He's, like, sitting on a cliff?
They're sitting on a cliff, yeah.
Okay, that's a really dangerous place to sit.
Oh, I hope she pushes him off. They stared at the water for a while. Finally, she spoke. Do you want to know what happened?
Please.
Fucking please. More than anything, Shelley. Sure. I'm a sucker for a mystery. Start at the beginning. She lowered her head. She was not dressed warmly. A thin, white sweater. But the cold had never seemed to bother her. He was surprised when she suddenly
goes the whole time.
Shivered. I thought you killed him, she began. I guess you know that already. Nope, didn't get that. But I didn't think it at first, at least not consciously. I just didn't want to be around you. I missed Harry so much. There was something about you that reminded me of him. Maybe it was because you were wearing the jacket that he died in. even then,
but
though.
He only did that for like a day.
Yeah, yeah. she's talking about like back then when Harry died. I forgot. Even then, though, I knew you were Max Slate. I'd known since the third time we went out. I'd read The Wishing Web when we started dating, and the way you talked and the way the book was written, they were the same. Do you know what I mean? He nodded. They had the same voice. Yeah, I get it. Yes, but I didn't know for sure. But then, all those wonderful stories you used to tell me, right off the top of your head, that made me wonder, too. So much that I snuck into your house one day when no one was home and turned on your computer. Then I knew.
She paused.
Does that make you mad?
It should, but it probably won't.
You tried to have me killed, Shelly. The fact that you also snooped around my room doesn't exactly shock me. You
that's,
bitch.
That's a good line. That's a good line.
I don't even know what to write. Oh, God. She chewed on that a moment. I see your point, but you're wrong to think I wanted you killed. That would have been easy. But I was telling you my story. Where was I? The summer after Harry died, last summer, your series was out, and I had read it. Was the whole series out in the summer? That's wild.
It couldn't have been.
But it was, I think this started in, like, November, and the last book was due. I don't know. The timeline is wild.
Yeah.
Right away, I was struck by how you had worked Harry's death into the plot, exchanging Anne McGaffer for Harry. But then I read the second book.
It seemed like you didn't know you were doing that.
And the people, the circumstances, the events, I began to see that you were writing about what had happened to Harry. You saw more than I did, Marvin quipped. I find that hard to believe. Marvin shrugged again. I'm not going
really
to try
equipped?
To convince you.
Does that rise to the level of a quip?
I think to them it is.
Observed.
I still don't understand how he doesn't know what he's writing.
I thought I was kicking your feet, and it's just a cat
admitted.
Under the table.
You're kicking Alfie.
Yeah.
She stared at him a moment. The series made me realize that the only way you could have known so much about how Harry died...
Don't mind me just uncorking the scotch that I need to get through the end of this book.
This series made me realize that the only way you could have known so much about how Harry died was to have killed him. So last summer I began to suspect you, but I didn't do anything. I wasn't sure. But the third book came out, and then the fourth and fifth, and each added more detail and gave me more confidence that you were the culprit. It was then I decided I needed to test you. But that's crazy. Why would I have killed Harry? For the same reason Mike Madison killed Anne McGaffer. But Mike didn't kill Anne, Marvin said impatiently. Terry did. I don't remember who the people in the book are compared to the people in real life.
Same.
I didn't know that. I hadn't read the last book. Why didn't you wait till it came out? Then you could have bought it at any bookstore and known for sure.
And added to my...
Why don't you just wait to read a fiction book to find out who murdered your real-life boyfriend, Shelley?
Next two sentences are really a sign of the times. What was the matter? Were you too cheap to spring for the $4?
Wow.
$4 a book. I remember them being $6 for a paperback.
I remember them being $3.
Oh, wow.
He sold a lot of books in 1 year to make that much money.
They're now $11? For like a paperback, probably?
Yeah,
some trade paperbacks are like 16.
Fuck right
but,
off.
But I think like true like paperback, like if you see like a mass market, not a trade, I think you might still see some of those for under 10, but like $8.99 would be like the cheapest you would see.
Yeah. What's the difference between mass market and trade?
Well, you know, mass markets are the ones that are like the traditional old paperbacks.
Compact.
Size that
oh,
you picture.
The little guys.
As opposed to what they call trade now, which is more like, I don't know, a couple inches, you know, bigger in each dimension.
Those big ones.
Okay. Yeah. I think I get it.
All right. Shelley was indignant. I am not cheap. You didn't know it was triad. Hell yeah. I mean, Terry, who has the same first initial as triad. You're not very clever, Marvin, who killed Anne until last week. You've said that much yourself. You couldn't have written about it unless everything that happened on the bridge between us happened. Oh, so now I suppose I owe you some of my royalties. That wouldn't be a bad idea, she snapped back. Shelley. I'm saying that you have been writing about this whole business from the beginning and that my suspicion of you was natural. Shelley stopped to take a breath. Huh. She looked back down at the water and continued in a lower voice. I thought you killed Harry because you were jealous of him. Because you were in love with me and wanted me for yourself. You have a high opinion of yourself, don't you? She whirled his way. I think I was right. At least half right. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing, Shelley.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Someone, both of you jump off the cliff.
You're good with one-liners, aren't you?
No!
He shrugged. Whole paragraphs. Go on. You decided you had to test me. What next? I came at you two ways. I sent you the fan letter that I said, I know you. I knew you would notice that it had been mailed locally.
And because I was going on the assumption that you had killed Harry, I thought it would make you anxious and paranoid. It did.
Like he needed help being anxious and paranoid.
Oh my God, right?
It did, and I hadn't even killed anybody. You see, it worked. I wanted you to feel paranoid about the letters, but I wanted you to trust them as well, so that I could use them to direct you to act when I wanted you to act. But my second note was designed to make you suspicious of me. I knew you would come to my house Saturday night once you picked up the third note I stuffed in your box that evening.
What?
This How did hat you know? On a hat on a hat.
Oh my God.
How did you know that I'd picked up the note? I only went to the post office by chance. I figured that there was a good chance you would. I staked out the place with Triad, hell yeah. Once you had it in your hand, we hurried back to my house and got in the jacuzzi.
Oh, wow.
The sacrifices you made in the line of duty. It was all staged. None of it meant a thing to me. You were groaning naked in his arms, he said. Wow. I wasn't naked. I had my bathing suit on. It was hidden by the bubbles. The only reason I was groaning was because I knew you were watching.
Oh, my God.
I could see you in the mirror in the den. I was happy.
I could see you crying, you little bitch.
Yeah, he was literally standing there crying while they were in the hot tub.
It's like, we should film this and call it a cuckold video. It could be a whole new genre.
We'll be
I was so happy about that at the time, that you stood there for so long, crying in my cuck video. That was when I really got to pull your strings. Wait a second. How did Triad involved in all this? He was Harry's best friend, Shelley said. I needed help setting you up. It was normal that I should have approached him for assistance. She stopped and rubbed her head. All of a sudden, it seemed to be hurting her.
It's giving me, like, Princess Bride, like, trying to figure out which cup the poison is in.
Oh, my God. Vibes. Yes. Yes.
Of, like, the fucking train of thought going into...
I knew you knew this, and that you knew I would know, but I knew that you knew that I would know.
Yeah. No, it's the
and
end of
And you were spying
Clue.
On me, but I was spying on you.
Yeah.
It's the end of Clue, which, like, you couldn't possibly have predicted, because there's three fucking endings.
Yes.
But Clue's great. Clue's so good.
Yeah, Clue is great. Also, it's Princess Bride.
They're both great. And so is this. I see now why he was so anxious to help me.
This book is making me angry.
That's an understatement. Would you just listen to me and try to understand? She asked, a note of desperation entering her voice. It was rare that Shelley ever sounded emotional. Not for the first time, he wondered what had happened while he was working on his book. Yeah, that's what I want to know, mainly. Mm-hmm. He was relieved to see she was alive, but he still hated her for the way she had used him. I'm listening, he said in a flat voice. She spoke as if she was trying to convince herself. This whole test of mine was necessary to clear Harry's name and give me peace of mind. I had ample evidence that you had killed Harry in a jealous rage. Did you, though, Shelley? There was no evidence of any of it. It was all very conjectural. Then, when I made you jealous again, you acted exactly as I thought you would. You tried to kill Triad. You even used the way I thought you used to kill Harry. Me. My brain. You knew that I would be waiting there to trip the bike? I suspected you'd be, Shelley said.
Why?
But how did you know the way... How did you know that... But how did you know...
How? Hey,
Josh,
how?
John, maybe take a break. Take
how
a break
now,
from
brown
this.
Cow.
I think this show is killing you.
But how did you know that way had been used before? She looked at him as if he were slow. All right. I feel attacked.
Look how meta Pike knew. Pike knew about us.
Pike knew.
Pike knew. Let's just make hashtag sure Pike knew.
I read about it in your books. That's right. I forgot.
And I'm going a famous back, author.
I write books. And going back, in going back through the earlier books in the series, he had discovered that he had already written in an old piece of rope
hanging
from the bridge. He'd had little patchwork to do to accommodate his surprising new ending. Not that he had finished writing the end. He needed a few more facts. I'm furious.
He's still not done the book. This is a lot
of like last minute explaining for a book.
I don't understand how the reveal could be that he wrote about the stuff he saw happening to him.
And then forgot.
How is that a reveal?
Yeah.
It would be like if I read my journal and was fucking shocked.
You read your own journal and you're like, whoa, what?
What did I do? Whoa. Oh my god.
Well, look, who could blame him for forgetting all the details in the five fucking books he's written in the last year?
Sure. Me. I blame him. It should be fresh in his memory.
Holy shit.
Not that much time has passed.
Well, the good news is there's more.
Great. Just 10 more pages. He was talking to just the person who could give it to him. Hold on. Oh, more facts. Right. He's getting the ending of his book right now from Shelley.
Cool.
I'm with you so far, he said, whether I want to be or not, but you've skipped over a crucial part of the story. What really happened last year? Yeah. Do you know? Yes. Tell me. All right. She reached in her back pocket and pulled out a shiny silver object. Marvin recognized his knife. He wondered if there was a special significance to her timing. Yeah, dramatic tension. Yes. Mm-hmm. He stared uncomfortably. Although she didn't appear in a threatening mood, Shelley continued, Harry was jealous of you. He knew I was going out with you. I had told him, but I hadn't told him how I felt about you. Maybe he guessed. I don't know. Anyway, he got drunk with Triad that Friday night. We were out celebrating your birthday. I thought it was Shelley's birthday.
Doesn't matter.
I thought the whole thing happened on Shelley's birthday.
I don't remember.
Okay. You know how people get when they're drunk? Their miseries either vanish or magnify a hundredfold.
Wait, who was drunk?
Harry and Triad.
Harry and Triad.
Okay. I like that. You know how people get when they're drunk? Oh, yeah. Drunk? Like.
Yeah. You know how people get when they're drunk?
You know how people get drunk when they're drunk?
Oh, yeah. Loose inhibitions.
She said to the guy that beat the shit out of his drunk dad.
They get a little murdery.
Yeah.
He told Triad how pissed he was at you, how he had wanted to get back at you. Triad was sympathetic. He told Harry that he'd overheard you were going to see a late movie in Pella that night, and that you would be crossing the bridge around midnight if they wanted to spring a little surprise on you. Did Triad tell Harry you were with me? Marvin asked. No. Marvin nodded. I didn't know you'd be with Triad last week. Wait, I'm confused again.
He's now circling back to when he was hanging off the bridge.
Fuck.
All right.
Did Triad tell Harry that you were with me? Oh, on the bike when they were going to ambush him. Okay. Oh, and then I didn't know you'd be with Triad last week. Okay.
Swell.
Shelly was... Chris. Shelly was taken aback. Didn't you see me on the back of the bike when we were on our way to Pella? No, I was too far away from the road. Go on. Triad and Harry got a piece of rope and a can of oil and headed out to the bridge, Shelley said. Harry was far more drunk than Triad. In fact, yeah. Triad was in complete control. Hell yeah. He knew exactly what he was doing. This was the opportunity he had been waiting for. He thought he could kill two birds with one stone. You see, Harry had made a fatal mistake when he had confided in Triad about how jealous he was of you. Because Triad was also in love with you, Marvin interrupted. Shelley was impressed. How did you know? Oh, I don't know. Everything he's done up to this point? It's in the book I just wrote. Seriously? How did you know to write that? I could see it in Triad's eyes on the bridge. Sure you did. Even as he was smashing my head into the railing? Especially then, Marvin said with a note of bitterness. Christ. You forget. I know from experience what jealousy can drive a man to do. She ignored his tone. Harry set the rope up, or maybe Triad set it up. I don't know. but it was Harry who went over the side of the railing with a rope around his waist. He sat there waiting in the cold for you to come by, ready to trip you off your bike. But then you came by with me on the back, and he realized his mistake. At the last second, he let the rope drop. She paused. Harry wasn't a killer.
But wasn't he going to try to kill him?
Right? But...
I believe you.
If you're drunk and there for a murder plot, you're still part of the murder plot.
I think
plot.
What she was saying was Harry wasn't a killer of me.
Right, yeah. Harry just wanted to kill you.
A killer of me.
Oh, I believe you, he said sarcastically. She was angry. You're the last person in the world who can take that tone with me. I'm going to give that line another reading. You're the last person in the world who can take that tone with me. He didn't snap back. I also lowered the rope when I saw you were on the back, he said. I think I would have lowered it if you hadn't been on the back. Huh? Really? Didn't you hear me shout out? No, she said. Triad Helya wanted to wear the helmet. The wind was strong in my ears and my eyes. Triad Helya was going to break all along. He'd had a bike a couple years ago. He knew how to stop them in nothing flat. I could see that. Marvin
sure
realized there was a big hole in her story. Oh, there's still more holes to
really?
Fill in. Here we go.
Are you sure? This shit's airtight to me.
No, we're going back in, guys. Okay. We're filling in story holes. Pike says, let no hole be unfilled by the end of the epilogue view.
New name of the podcast, Story
Hole. It also says that in the Hollywood sex book.
You know what they have in the sex book is epilogue. When Triad, hell yeah, was getting Harry drunk and talking him into wasting me. Oh, this is Marvin. When Triad was getting Harry drunk and talking him into wasting me, did he know you would be returning from Pella with me? Shelley didn't hesitate. Yes. But then he was risking you? I don't understand. Her voice was cold. Don't you?
No. I don't.
You say you didn't know I was on the back of the bike last week. All right, I believe you. But why didn't you know? Were you afraid to look when we were on the way to Pella, in case I was? She had turned the tables on him quickly.
What?
What?
No. Like I said, I was... too far from the road. The tone of this is bothering me. These characters are like sorting things out in a way that I really don't
like. They're talking to each other like, I got you in a trap. The other one's like, do you?
Oh. No.
Food for thought.
Wait. No.
I'm just glad this makes sense to one of us.
Right, oh, exactly. God. No, like I said, I was too far from the road, and then I dropped my binoculars in the river, and Marvin heard his voice trail off. He supposed he might have been trying to avoid the issue until it was too late, but it was hard to imagine he could have been so cold-blooded.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Okay.
I don't either.
I don't even care about getting it. I just want to know I'm not the only one.
I kind of care about getting
it. I don't care.
We're together in confusion.
Good.
He added, I don't really think I wanted to hurt you. Last year, Triad didn't care if I died along with you, Chili said. If he couldn't have me, no one was going to have me. I'm sure he had it all figured out. He would have made sure Harry took the rap for our deaths. Last Sunday, Triad didn't care that it wasn't part of the plan to have you die. It was his turn to get back at her. Are you sure that wasn't part of your plan? I came awfully close to going in that water. Shelley spoke firmly. I figured I could go to the police and tell them you had tried to kill Triad and me, and that you had probably killed Harry. I would have had Triad as a witness. That was my goal from the beginning. Hell yeah. To make you pay for what you had done. Look, we both screwed each other.
Not yet.
We both figuratively screwed each other. That's the way it is. You keep acting like you're my moral superior, but there's no difference between us. There's a big difference, Marvin said. You drove me to do what I did. You started it. Are you fucking kidding me? Because I thought you had started it, Shelley snapped. But I didn't start it. You made the wrong assumption. You were wrong. And you were right to string a rope across a bridge in front of an oncoming motorcycle? Marvin was getting tired of the argument, as was the audience. It kept going in circles. Finish your fucking story, he said.
Did he say that?
No.
Oh.
Harry dropped the rope and went by. Harry dropped the rope and we went by. Triad went running to him and shoved Harry off the edge of the bridge. Triad hung him by his armpits. He let him hang there all weekend. Fucked up.
It's a really shitty way to kill somebody.
It really, like, it's really, yeah, it's awful. Because, like, because you just die of exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Triad even went and played in the football game while Harry was trapped under the bridge. Shelley sniffed. Harry must have been dead, though, when the rope finally snapped and he fell in the river. I hope he was dead. Marvin found it difficult to speak for a moment. The image was so gruesome, but he had to know. Go on, he said. You know the rest. You saw on the bridge how Triad showed his true colors. I was as surprised as you. More so. She touched her head again. What a fool I was. The bastard was right in front of me all along and I couldn't see it. Especially after I knew. Oh, never mind. Especially after you knew what? She twisted her face into an odd expression. Especially after I knew what the Terry in your books, or that the Terry in your books had been out drinking with the Clyde in your books not long before Clyde turned up dead. What?
Fuck off, Shelley.
Marvin snorted. Ain't that a coincidence? I don't know what that means. We didn't read those books.
Right?
A silence settled between them. Marvin could feel the damp from the ground seeping into his lower body. It was getting late. It didn't look like his editor would be getting the book tomorrow morning as he promised. Oh well, she should be thankful Shelley hadn't sneaked up on him in the dark and slit his throat. Then he wouldn't have been able to write any more bestsellers. The dampness was haunting. The ground they were sitting on had been disturbed recently, dug up.
What?
What are you thinking? Shelley asked finally. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
He picked up a stone and tossed it into the water far below, satisfying urges of many a person across time. Mm-hmm. He heard the initial splash, but not the spreading ripples.
He said,
those nice. He had to imagine, spreading over the entire lake, touching every part of the shore. His stories were like that.
Oh,
they
God.
Burst without control from his imagination and reappeared in a million printed replicas in bookstores. Maybe they touched too many minds in the wrong places. He had never thought about that before. He glanced at the knife resting in Shelley's lap. His knife. But with whose blood on it?
Probably Triad's.
I used to have a nightmare about this lake when I was a kid, he said. I'd be walking along the shore at night and I'd hear a monster rising from the depths. I'd try to run away, but no matter which way I ran, I'd continue to circle the water. The monster would surface and come up at my back, ready to pounce.
I don't care about this dream at all that he's saying. Are they sitting on Triad's grave?
I'll make it more interesting.
My God.
They're sitting on Triad's grave.
Fuck.
She killed... Yeah, okay. Sorry, go on, Chris.
But he does just have, like, the weirdest blind intuition. Like, here's where I'll put my ass, right?
Maybe
on this,
this
fucking
is where the power finally
grave.
Comes in.
Yeah. Holy shit.
But each time I had this dream, there would be this flash of red light, and I would wake up beside the lake in the daytime. What? You're dropping this now, Pike?
It's called a Pike drop.
Okay, oh wait, hold on.
Fuck off!
He's incepting
a
us.
Pike drop!
Only I would still be dreaming because the lake would be dried up and human bones would be strewn all over the cracked lake bed. He paused. What do you think a dream like that means? Shelley spoke carefully. That you imagine there are secrets here that are hidden? Please don't murder me. A psychiatrist would agree with that analysis. Marvin nodded to himself. So fucking sure. Why did you come here tonight? I was there this afternoon when you held your assembly. You didn't answer my question, he said. You bitch. Borrow again.
Oh, no.
I wanted to talk to you. I thought you might be here. Why did you think I would be here? He asked. She was shrewd. No wonder she had been able to load the viewer. No wonder she had been able to penetrate his disguise and manipulate him so easily. She understood the way his mind worked. But then he was beginning to understand how her mind worked. His Anne McGaffer and her alter ego, his Jessica Moss. She was both of them, really, rolled into one neat package. "Tell me why you came here," she said. "Because this is where it all began," he said. "And I still have to write the end of my book." "And you thought this might be where it all ends?" she asked. "Yeah." Shelley picked up the knife. She studied it in the dark. Not a ghostly glimmer of light shone on the silver blade. Yet he knew it must be cold to the touch.
"What?
Do you want it?" she asked. "Are you offering it to me?"
"Fuck.
Maybe. You said that a few minutes ago." He was much stronger than she, even unarmed. He shouldn't be in any danger, yet he continued to follow the hand that held the knife. She had it in her right, which she was keeping near the ground, in the grass, partially behind him. He wouldn't be very strong if she stabbed him, and he would lose a pint of blood in a minute. That's good thinking.
Yeah.
Don't get stabbed, Marvin, he said to himself.
That really does deplete your strength, getting stabbed.
He added, "I don't know where it's been. Are you afraid to get your fingerprints on it?"
Is this supposed to be sexy? I don't get it. She leaned closer.
I certainly read it that way.
Yeah,
I
don't know. Yeah, he did.
It's only sexy because John made it so.
I don't know why I'm turned on right now.
Yeah, but John can't help it.
She.
I'm sorry, she I was trying closer, to be scary, and it just came out cute.
She leaned
nice
closer.
Nice and endearing.
And her eyes glistened with the sheen of moisture.
Her big wet eyes.
Big wet eyes. Her mood had changed once more. She could turn it on and off. She was back in control. The powerful, mysterious Shelley he so loved writing about. "Are you afraid, Marvin?" Was Triad afraid? Hell yeah, she said.
That'd be great if she did. No, but it'd be great if she did. She just said yes.
"How did you get the knife away from him?" Shelley brushed his hair. Shelley brushed his hair from his forehead with her with the knife.
She sliced his hair from his head. Lovingly.
He could feel her breath on the side of his cheek. "I kissed him," she said. "I see." "Do you want me to kiss you?"
"I hate this
he
book."
He considered a moment. "Maybe." She brushed the side of his cheek with her lips.
Wait, is she the one with the wide sensual mouth?
Yes, apparently.
Okay.
"What would Max Slate do?" she asked. He considered longer. I think it's a rhetorical question, Marvin. Right. It was her game. It had been from the beginning.
Think about it.
Well, and he doesn't fucking know. Only she does.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently.
That's true.
You tell me, bitch.
It was her game. It had been from the beginning, even though he had written the rules. What? Yes, he whispered. She kissed him. She tasted as she always had, like love.
What? Are you?
No, that's in there. That's
is
in there.
It?
Yeah, I didn't add that. Crazy, crazy as it seemed, he still loved her.
Jonathan,
crazy
there should be some kind
of. He still loved her. Sorry, go
on. There should be some kind of effect or something you put on it so that listeners will know when something that sounds like an interjection we've made up is not
is
made
actually
up,
just in the book.
You know, because that happens all the time. These books are crazy
so
enough.
Awesome.
That
it's like,
it needs, like if this whole thing was on video, it would be a little pop up to be like, nope, this was really
this is
in
actually
the book.
Really,
actually in the book. Actually in the book.
Then she pulled back and smiled. "You have balls," she said. Hang on.
I miss having
Hang
my
on,
mic contraption to hide behind.
It gets better. "You have balls," she said. "Two of them. You should kiss me again."
Did she say two of them?
He
or did
said
he
two of them. He said two of them.
That's how he doubled down on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And it worked because she did. She did. And when she was done, she said... Triad didn't. Hell no. No? Hell
he
no.
He didn't have three of them?
He had one of them?
He didn't have three of them! God damn it. Did you kill him? He asked. I can't tell you that. Why not? I know everything else.
I don't want it.
Read it! Read it!
I don't want it.
I don't. If I tell you that, I would have to kill you, she said. But I don't know how to end my book. She laughed softly. And Shelley's soft laughs always felt to him like a hot knife sliding into butter. They always made him melt.
Thanks for explaining that.
You what? Know, because of the heat and the butter molecules.
Like
and the melting temperature of dairy.
I thought like that was going to be like...
a knife would just slice the butter, but like yeah. a hot
her laughs always
knife.
Felt like a hot knife sliding into his back. Oh, wait.
Yeah, nope, that was just the knife in my back. You know, he told me everything I just told you, she said, and I can tell you he didn't want to tell me.
You know what? Like he didn't have any balls. She said brandishing the knife.
But he was afraid not to. Wait, I didn't comprehend anything I read, and I don't even care. I don't even care. Just going to pretend I'm at work and I'm reading about, like, medical fucking processes.
I feel like Chris is totally checked out.
No, Chris just put up a still image of himself.
No, I'm focusing because I just want to understand.
I don't want to understand. I'm just going to... let it wash over
Chris
me.
Is wearing those glasses from The Simpsons that are just eyes open.
Right. No, I could just be very still when I sense predators nearby.
Shelley's a predator. I don't know what I just read. Yes. She pulled away from him and lifted a handful of the loose soil they were sitting on with her left hand. That was just a different sentence than the previous.
Okay.
She continued to keep the knife in her right hand. She let the soil pour through her open fingers. He had a right to be afraid, she said. And that's one body that will never be found, he whispered. I didn't say that, she said quickly. He didn't feel like arguing with her about the dead body they were obviously sitting
Thank
on top of.
God, because I can't take any more fucking back and forth on shit.
Ever again, for that matter. I didn't hear you say it. She gestured to the lake. Why did you choose to come to this spot? She already asked him that 50 times. He spoke carefully. I wanted a soft spot to sit. She brushed the dirt off her hand. She batted her eyelashes. No. Her gaze strayed downward. Involuntarily. What?
I don't know.
A lot of what they had done lately had been involuntary. He wondered himself why he had chosen the exact spot where she had buried Triad to stop and rest. You know enough to finish it, she said. I suppose. Will you let me? His question caught her by complete surprise.
Sorry about that. Forgot to silence my work phone.
Oh.
So we're just going to take care of that now.
I was wondering what that burr, burr noise was.
I didn't hear it because I was having an aneurysm.
All right, so if you don't mind scrolling up just a little bit,
I thought
bit
that's
so
what that sound
context.
Was. Was you having an aneurysm?
I suppose, will you let me? This question caught her back a complete surprise. Sure. If you put in a sentence at the end about how the heroine did what she did in self-defense. Marvin nodded. I understand. He said
like
to the girl
reading.
That had a knife.
Hasn't somebody said I understand like about eight times in this epilogue?
Also,
they keep saying I understand and then they keep saying what is going on?
The excuse of I killed him in self-defense goes out the window when you bury the fucking body, Shelley.
Yeah.
You don't kill someone in self-defense and then you're like, gotta hide it.
Yeah.
I understand. She laughed. I'm glad. She took the knife and cast it far out into the water. He heard the splash. He imagined he saw the ripples as they rebounded on the farthest shore.
She looked at
him. He would have to watch them closer. He would have to watch them closer in the future. She leaned close.
Ripples?
What?
What the hell?
You know, when something drops in water.
No, but like he earlier.
Why would he have to watch them closer?
Yeah.
Well, because I think it's like a dumb poetic.
The poetry
call back
of the ripples.
To what he said earlier.
Yeah, the poetry of the ripples.
Just keep reading.
You should have to watch them closer in the future. She leaned close. I want another kiss, she said. He hesitated. What's it going to cost me?
Oh, my God.
She stroked his leg with her now free right
hand. Oh, which yeah.
Is not an the amazing grave sentence. Dirt hand, the clean knife hand.
A percentage of your royalties. How much? A small percentage. He put his arm around her shoulder. I'd be crazy to be partners with
She's
you.
She's the one that has murdered.
Yeah.
All right, so I accidentally glanced ahead. All of this is nuts.
Okay, okay.
And we need to get through it.
I'm going to try not to read ahead.
Cool.
Until the meanwhile.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so a small percentage. He put his arm around her shoulder. I'd be crazy not to be partners with you. That's why you're such a genius. She kissed him. That's why I love you so much. She kissed him again. Because you are totally nuts. That makes two of us. Ain't that the truth? Shelley agreed. Meanwhile.
Oh man, fuck?
We're a match made in hell. They ended up driving back to his house on his motorcycle. Once there, they climbed in his Corvette and headed to the Portland airport, 4 hours away. Because they were so late, they had to drop the manuscript off at the airport so that the package could make the final flight to New York. Shelley drove while he wrote the end of his book in longhand.
They just hand it to the UPS plane?
That's even funnier. Shelley drove while he wrote the end of his book in longhand with the help of the car's overhead light. He figured his editor wouldn't mind a few pages handwritten, especially when the last scene was so delightfully wicked. He didn't hold anything back.
My fucking
Jessica
God.
Slit Terry's throat wide open, and later in the same week had sex with Sweet Mike, this time in the backseat of a hot red sports car. Sitting beside him, Shelley said she didn't mind what he wrote. No one will believe it anyway, she said. Marvin grinned. He was on the last page. Mike was having a good time. We'll have to see if it all comes true, he said. Hashtag pike drop.
Pike drop. Oh, shit.
Look for Christopher Pike's Monster, coming in November of 1992.
Pike drop.
Oh, my God.
We did it. God.
Why did we never think of Pike Drop?
This is why we have John here.
He's the real... Like, we tell other people they're returning champions, but they don't listen to this. John yeah. is the real returning champion.
I like to think
He's
of myself
John's
as
the reigning champion.
I'm a humble, like cleanup man. I come in, you know, I dust, I mop, I see... I make really mostly what I do... is I make sure you guys are all okay at the end of one of these things.
We're not okay.
We're super...
I'm not okay.
That was really, really crazy. That was some of the craziest shit we've ever read. What the fuck?
I guess I'll finish writing notes.
You don't have to.
They're together.
You don't have to write any more notes because I'm not going to write about the end of that.
If the routine of writing notes is a valuable coping mechanism for Becca, we should.
Yeah, that's true.
We
yeah.
should encourage.
It's like she's journaling.
I need to purge this from my body by writing.
I'm going
it down.
To write some notes now.
Do you think if it, that like Marvin's thinking like, oh, if I write that these characters fuck in the book, we might actually do it in real life.
Yes, that's exactly
well,
what happened.
Because
that's...
everything he wrote about already happened.
Yeah.
The only thing he wrote about that hasn't happened was them,
fucking
in his car.
And then he's like, maybe.
What, are they going to fuck in his car in the airport parking lot?
Yeah, probably. Because they're both insane, Becca. They're both insane.
But
except
that's
only
not
one of them
even
is...
true. She's insane and he's too stupid to remember what he wrote in his own books. She is a mastermind, and he is so fucking dumb.
Shelly's the master of murder.
She is the master of murder.
Guys, it's Shelly.
Mistress of murder.
Mistress of murder.
But I like that it's like Who's the Boss, where you can question it.
It's, it's Angela.
You can turn it over. Right. Is it Angela or is it Tony? Or is it in some ways, is it whatever Alyssa Milano's character,
oh,
Sam?
Oh, God.
She played him like a fiddle.
On the hot tin roof.
Used for murder.
Murder fiddle.
John,
like there's a better line there, but what I don't do you, feel like workshopping it.
Like a harp from hell.
Isn't like a Batman? Harp from hell.
Oh,
that's way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She played him like a harp from hell. Cut that last part out. I know you won't.
No. Yeah. John, what'd you think of this shit? Of this shit?
Honestly, if I were to come out of one of these episodes and not have a moment where my brain feels like it's breaking, I'd be disappointed. And
yeah.
this was another winner in that sense. It was definitely, there was a moment where I was reading words and I had the laugh of the mad, mm-hmm. you know, come out of my body because I didn't know what I was saying. there's a point where you can only do that so long. You can only read so many sentences out loud without understanding why they link up or what they are referring to before your mind cracks.
What even is reality? Yeah.
I had one of those, and there's always something kind of cathartic about it. So in that sense, you know, Pike did it again.
Pike pulled another one out, another successful Pike drop. I am furious that we've never thought of that before.
Pike drop. Holy shit.
My God. Did you write that down?
Yeah, I did.
Good. Thank God.
You know, the other day I was wondering, I was like, why do we keep bringing John Walker around? Like,
you were asking really it out loud.
You're posting hurting for reasons.
Chris was walking down the street, like, kicking a pebble, like, why do we bring John Walker
No, it was
around?
Weird as he was posting and, online on about, he put it on Facebook. Why do we keep asking John back?
It's a poll.
It was kind of rude.
Yeah, it's a public poll.
And then, you know what? You pulled through.
I earned it again, just like what's his name earns hugs from his sister.
Yes,
you've earned
you're just,
another
you're
episode.
Just like Marvin,
and a hug.
Oh my God, I love that we make you suffer with us through the end of these things.
I just love that he comes in at the end and he's just like,
no, it's
I
it's,
have
it's,
no
it's,
idea what's going on. But then us that have read the whole thing, we're like. We have no idea what's going on.
It started off as like a complete coincidence, I think. Like it started off like, oh, we accidentally keep having John come in like as our last guest on a book. And then at a certain point, just like, no, this is just what we do. This is just what we do now.
Bad joke. Despite him coming in at the end and not reading the rest, he is still very much on the same page as us.
I wish I had the willpower.
I see you laughing, Becca. You laughed. You shook your head, but
I'm
you
broken.
Still laughed.
I wish I had the
that
willpower.
Laugh means nothing.
In post-production to end
means
the episode
everything.
There. Yeah. And just like, and that's just, I'll cut all of this out and just end the episode
you should.
There.
You really should.
that oh would be God. The name of this podcast if it were like an NPR thing or like a local public television thing.
On the same page?
It would be called On the Same Page, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a petition that we change the name to Story Hole.
Do you know how many times I've changed the name of my shit? I can't keep
once?
Doing it.
Well, it's almost as if I made the joke.
You've
with
only
that
changed
in mind.
It once.
Yeah.
Was it just the once?
Yeah.
It felt like 100 times.
Once was enough.
Well, because the first name I picked was the worst name I could have ever picked for anything in the entire world. Because all anyone ever asked was, what does it mean?
Right. Yeah.
No one has ever asked me, what does Cactus Rodeo mean? That's crazy.
That
no
is
one
crazy.
Has ever asked me. They're like, what's Cactus Rodeo?
It's because we all mean? Got so worn out asking, what does This Is 65 mean?
Yeah. But yeah, every single time anyone would ever come up to me, like, what's This Is 65 mean?
The crazy thing about Cactus Rodeo is that, like, there's other results in a Google search.
Is there?
There shouldn't be. I mean, I know that there kind of are, but I think I'm the main one.
Well, no, like, you're at the top, but
there was, like a brand.
There's, like, other results. It's like, what?
Yeah, there was. Well, yes, there was. There's, like a Texas thing. there's, like, a rodeo thing that's called Cactus Rodeo, which
Texas
makes a lot
rodeo
of sense.
Company.
Yeah.
It's a rodeo in Texas.
Yeah. Well...
We should visit there one day.
Good luck getting the Facebook page, bitches. Or the website.
You know, you actually should
they
hope
do have a
that,
Facebook
like,
page.
Cactus Rodeos should become so popular, because then they're going to, like, pay you the big bucks for the name. You know, because they're going to be like, we got to have
I
it.
Would say I wouldn't sell, but
oh,
I would
wait,
probably.
Wait,
yeah.
Your best case scenario is that.
I mean, if someone, right. Yeah, if someone offered enough money, I would 100% sell.
Hold on.
Yeah.
John Walker, your best case scenario is that someone else with the name gets so popular, Jonathan gets paid for it.
That well, they want to buy the
that,
What they want to buy the
popular.
No, but we're not going to ever make any money on this, no matter how popular it is.
Look, let's
selling
be real
the
here.
Website is the only.
Look at how old we all are.
Oh no, the route driving from here to Cactus Radio Company may be affected by flash floods.
Oh no!
So we should get on the road now.
It only takes us a day and 2 hours.
If we leave right now, it's a day and 2 hours.
Plus or minus with the floods.
Are they in Texas?
Yeah.
I'll be there on Sunday.
Right. Well, let's do it.
How close are they to Austin? Texas is big.
We'll talk about this offline.
Yeah. It might take me less than a day and 2 hours to drive there. I'm not going.
I don't know. Where is Austin? This is
I'm
not good
radio. I'm
going
to pack my bag. If you guys
oh, no, it's really fucking far.
Yeah. Going up to their door like, hi.
Hey, do you want to see this little cactus I drew?
Are you guys the other cactus
nothing
rodeo?
To do with you guys.
I'm from Baltimore, and I'm running in the other direction. He wears a cowboy hat sometimes because I think it's funny, and he gets in all sorts of misadventures. Look at my comics. I've got a podcast network. I call it Cactus Radio.
It would
that's
be cute
silly
if you like, bought a t-shirt from them.
Hey, you cowboys. Look at my comics.
Hey, you cowboys.
It's a 5-hour drive from Austin.
Hey,
Jesus Christ.
Texas is big as shit.
Texas is too big. A controversial opinion. Texas is too big.
I don't know where you'll find someone who would agree
hashtag
with that.
Hashtag make Texas smaller.
I thought you were going to say make Texas small again, and then I was going to say when was it small, but that's not what you said.
Oh, that's way better than what I said.
I like thank make you. It smaller. Just make it smaller.
Make it smaller.
It's too big. I don't like it. Make it smaller.
5 small states.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, what do you mean make it
North,
smaller?
North
oh, I have
Texas.
To think of everything?
North Texas,
yeah,
South
the
Texas.
The square thing at the top could be its
East
own
Texas.
State.
West
or like
Texas.
Give it back to Oklahoma.
And then Austin. I don't know. Austin's probably its own state. I don't think the rest of Texas likes Austin, right?
Well, I think it's the rest of the country.
They don't.
The rest of the country only likes Austin.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Austin is like a little, I don't even know if it's liberal, but you know, it's like it's Austin. It's a,
it
keep Austin away. It's liberal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an actual city.
I know it's
not
an
one of those
city.
Fake ones.
What's a fake city?
Let's not talk about
right
Texas
city.
Like we know fucking anything about it.
But that's kind of what's
let's
fun about
just
it.
Just move on.
Is the conjecture. Second time I've said that word tonight.
When did
the point
you say
is we
it
did
before?
It.
I don't remember. Some other time.
All right,
I
so
said
John,
it. I said it in the podcast,
thoughts?
And I was like, "That's I don't say that word ever."
John, what are your thoughts on Master of Murder?
I think I already.
He already said
answered that question.
I
think we can.
Drunk.
Also, I mean, like, our brains are fried from this book. We read one chapter, one epilogue. That's all we read.
That was a long epilogue.
That epilogue
that was
really like
that
a couple
was a juicy
chapters.
Epilogue.
I mean, calling thank it an God. Epilogue, I don't understand. It just should have been the last chapter.
It's like
there's no reason that should have been
the epilogue.
Epilogue
was the actual book.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Epilogue
yeah.
is just the ending to the book.
Yeah.
It just should have been a,
you know what
another
it felt
chapter.
Like?
It's like he got to the end of the book, and he was like, the end. Oh, shit.
Yeah, the end, like, except oh, I didn't wrap wait. Up or explain anything that happened in the entire book.
I forgot to explain yeah, everything.
No, some books have, like, a chapter at the end that's, like, a Q&A with the author
mm-hmm.
about the book, like, the themes and what it was all about. Like, almost like it's intended for reading groups or for students or something
yeah.
to use those as, like, study questions.
Yeah.
This is, like, that, except he built it into the story.
He
yeah.
got to a
this
point where he was like,
guide.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
Right, the
oh,
study
yeah,
guide.
I gotta end this.
Yeah. He's like Marvin.
Make it one epilogue. I'm not yeah. gonna
Christopher Pike.
He wrote that
water.
Epilogue
in
the car on the way to the fucking airport
yeah.
where he was hoping to get a blowjob I mean, from his girlfriend.
He hit his word count goal and was like, oh, I gotta end this now.
And he was like,
yeah.
I wrote a blowjob into the book. What do you think about that? She's like,
yeah.
get out of my fucking car.
Yeah.
Get on that plane right now.
We have to flight to catch.
We have a flight.
Yeah.
You have a flight to catch. I'm leaving. I don't want any more to deal with this.
Hey,
Master
don't forget how many balls I have.
I've got two of them.
It's two. I counted.
It's two. Wait, hang on. Yes, it's two.
I know I complained a lot about this book, and I honestly am just so disappointed that it wasn't supernatural. Like, does
yeah,
anyone else
really,
feel the same?
I don't. I get it. I get why you feel like that. I loved this book. Even though it did fall apart at the end, at the very, like, right at the end, it fell apart monumentally.
I still but, don't think we've been disappointed by Pike.
No, I will agree with that.
Well, fine. I stand by my opinion.
But I do get, I mean, like, of the three Christopher Pike books we've read, the first two had a heavy supernatural.
Yeah.
Well, like, the first one was, like, supernatural. The second one was, like, sci-fi. Like, yeah, there's definitely...
Well,
there was,
I think sci-fi counts as supernatural.
Like, but, yeah, like, non... Yeah. Yeah,
this I think was time traveling robots one. Count as supernatural. This was, I don't know.
This was definitely robots. The first one of his books that we've read that was just rooted in reality. And like, I think, I bet if you asked him, Mr. Pike, mm-hmm. if you made this point to him, he'd be like, no. He would probably say that like the Marvin writing shit into his book that happened. Is that part of the book? Is like, is that part of the book that's like not, you know?
Well, if he ever comes to my high school to do a Q&A, I'll ask him.
I'm not saying that that would be right. I think that that's just what he would say.
I think he's wrong about the book he wrote.
I think whenever writers write a book where the main character is a writer, they're a little bit too far up their own ass about writing.
Yeah.
Stephen King, Christopher Pike. I'm reading Misery right now, and there's a lot of that going on.
So that has been the conclusion of Master of Murder by Christopher Pike.
Master of Murder.
Oh, boy. John, I can't wait to have you on the next time we finish a book.
Another batshit crazy adventure.
I have an idea of what we should read next, and I'm excited because it's. I want to take it like a hard left turn.
Well, let's not get
twins.
The listener too excited. So,
yeah. Right.
Not just Sweet Valley Twins, but
Sweet Valley Twins is like the middle school version. Oh, that's the middle school one. Books. I was just joking.
Oh no,
those are just boring.
No, I
think of the listener's blood sugar.
I want to dive back into the world of Sweet Valley High, mm-hmm. but go
with
real
a crazy one,
real far in to a crazy one.
Yeah,
because. We can't just do book four.
No.
It's too depressing. Oh.
Yeah. Let's anamorphs it and, like, start at book 40.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah. There are so many. And, like, they... Eventually, they turn into, like, detective novels, right? Kinda?
I think there's a spinoff that's detective-y.
But it's still them!
I think some of this shit... Well, yeah, but it's a spinoff. I don't think it's part of the regular series, but there's still shit that happens in the regular series that's insane, from what I've read. Online.
So we're going to find a real batshit crazy Sweet Valley book, and that'll be our next book.
We'll have to bring back Christine.
Yes. Definitely.
Our SVU expert.
Yes. I was bummed that I couldn't, she lives in California. It's really hard to get her schedule right with us, because she's also a Christopher Pike expert. She's also an expert in the Pikeverse. But it just, schedule-wise, it didn't work out for this. But anyway... that's been us reading Christopher Pike's Master Murder. Thanks for listening. Thank you, John. John, what do you have to plug for anyone listening?
Well, when is this episode coming out?
In theory, tomorrow.
Oh, that soon, eh?
Yeah.
All right, so
we'll see.
I would say people should...
Depends on how fast you get your audio, do me.
But people should look very soon, because there's a show that the four of us are doing together that will be coming out very soon. I've kind of staggered it because I want them to come out somewhat close to each other, and I don't know when we're going to record the second episode of this show, so I've sort of held on to it. But very, very soon after this episode dropping, you should be hearing, if you for some reason hold on to it for more than a few days, then the other episode might already be up, a podcast called The Puzzling Matter of Mr. William Joel, where me and Chris and Becca and John will... be kind of looking at Billy Joel's career album by album, and the first episode that's sort of just a preview of that, talking about some of his early work and his new song that came out last month and a few other things, and also us trying to decide what genre Billy Joel falls into. You can find out what we have to say about that on the first episode of The Puzzling Matter of Mr. William Joel.
Nice.
Look for it wherever you get podcasts.
John, I can't remember if I told you, but the day after we recorded that podcast, I had my annual review with my boss, and when I hopped on Zoom, it was me with a Billy Joel virtual background.
Yes, you did tell me that.
Which background was that?
It was over there, so it was the We Didn't Start the Fire. Video background. It was him on fire. And she was like, oh, is that because of how fucked up everything is at work? And I was laughing. I was like, no, it's because I was on a fucking Billy Joel podcast last night.
You should have just said yes.
I was like, the truth is way funnier. Anyway, Chris, what do you have to plug?
The Sketchy Show, starring me, Chris Z, Jonathan Eaton, and Jonathan Walker. And Becca's on it sometimes, and she fucking kills it every time. She hates doing it. But you can find that under the Cactus Radio umbrella.
I don't know why he said
and,
that.
And that's mostly what I do, is this show and that show.
Yeah.
I should also mention that I do a weekly show called Movie Schmovie with my friends, Ron and Steve, and we've kept that going for years upon years. And if this, in fact, does come out tomorrow, then people can look for a brand new episode of Movie Schmovie on the very same day. So that might even be better synergy.
Oh, yeah. Aren't you recording that in a half hour?
It's very soon, yes. I'm going to go brush my teeth and gargle, and then I'll be back at it. I don't know why I need to brush my teeth, but I just want to freshen up before I brush.
Yeah, why not? You're sick.
Right.
I don't want to keep
the germ.
Go to cactusrodeo.com, read all my comics that I was talking about earlier, and check out Popsocket Theater, season 2 coming one day. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time to see what we read next on Below Grade Level. We love you. Bye!
Bye! Bye.
Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.